Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're going to be doing something a little different. We're going to call it a screw tape edition. And the question we're going to be addressing is, how can I demoralize my wife?
How can I demoralize my wife? Some people may not be familiar with the word screw tape, but we're taking that from a book written by C.S. Lewis called The Screw Tape Letters. And in that book, there's this older demon who is writing letters to his young nephew, who's like his protege. He's writing these letters to him, instructing him how to trip up and tempt believers. And it's a Christian classic. It's helpful because it gives instruction in kind of a backdoor way. And when you think about how the enemy might be scheming against you, it really motivates you to be on your guard spiritually. It can be a very convicting book to read. It's a very, very helpful book for me.
Sure.
So,
Greg, why are we doing a screw tape edition?
We're doing a screw tape edition because as this podcast goes along, we're getting some questions that are very similar to questions that we've dealt with already, and so there's only so many ways you can say the same thing. So questions like, how can I get my husband to do this or that? How can I get my husband to care about spiritual things? Well, this is a way to deal with that in a little bit different way than we might have in the past or will in the future. Also, we're getting some questions that fit under the same general heading, so this is a way to address several of them all at one time. And then, like the screw tape letters, thinking about certain issues from the opposite angle may help us help move us to action. Now, I'm a little bit nervous because it just is going to feel weird to talk from the opposite angle. Because in a way, it's going to be kind of like instructing people to do bad things.
Yeah, don't let anybody start partway into this episode.
Right. Yeah, you got to start at the beginning of this thing, or people are going to come in thinking that we have totally lost it.
Yeah.
But you've read the screw tape letters,
yes.
Right?
Not all of it. I've read a lot of it. It is... if you haven't read it, or you could even read like a chapter, and you'll see exactly how beneficial it is. Oftentimes, we know what to do. We know somewhat of what we're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
And the way C.S. Lewis writes this is he gets very specific, and you'll find yourself saying, oh, yeah, I do exactly that. And then when you realize it's from the perspective of a demon and his demon uncle, you're like, that means I shouldn't be doing these things.
Exactly.
So it really helps. It's like a witty way of giving advice on how to, you know, live a more godly life,
yeah,
to say the least.
So my hope is that as we talk about how to demoralize your wife, is that we may have some men who, as we're going through these things, think, wow, I'm already doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm already doing that. I'm already doing that. Whoa, I'm demoralizing my wife.
Right.
And it's just a kind of a little bit different way for the Holy Spirit to bring a realization to us that we need to change. And so,
right,
you know, throughout this conversation, we're going to be using Scripture to show what is the right way. And so if you prefer to go the wrong way, then you're just going to ignore that particular
right
Scripture. So we're going to kind of have a warped conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I was telling my wife about this, and she asked if we were going to like use demon voices. And that's not really my thing. So
mine neither.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I'm not an actor, and I don't know. Maybe Jason can do something to these to our voices post recording.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
that'd be interesting.
It could be. Now there is one thing that's helping me right now. As I think about it, you're not wearing glasses, and it's kind of freaking me out.
Oh, there you go.
Those of you who are listening, like since the day I met Kyle, he's worn glasses. And you know, the first time you see somebody without glasses, it's like, wow, that is really weird. So he just got contacts, and this is the first time I've seen him today. So it's kind of weird, really weird.
Yeah.
Is it kind of helping me get in the mood?
Sure.
I feel like I'm with a stranger.
Sure.
It feels kind of odd.
I looked at myself in the mirror. I said, who's that handsome man? I'm joking. That's what my wife said.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
All
of
right.
course.
So,
okay. So how can I demoralize my wife?
Let's start with care nothing for your own spiritual well-being.
Yeah, care nothing for your own spiritual well-being. And that may seem a bit counterintuitive, because you may think, well, the best way to demoralize her is going to be to not care for her spiritual well-being. But a kind of, if you want to get further up the stream, like a higher priority would be, don't care about your own, because caring about your own is what leads you to care about hers.
Sure.
So if your wife is a godly woman, and we're going to assume that she is for the sake of this question, she cares for your spiritual well-being. And if she's theologically inclined, then she knows that she can't make you grow spiritually, right? And
right.
So earlier in the Truth and Circumstances podcast, we've already talked about that. You can't make somebody else grow spiritually. She can pray, she can encourage you, but she cannot make you care about her, about your own spiritual growth. And so if she sees that day after day, month after month, year after year, she cares more about your spiritual growth than you do, it's going to wear her down as if she were carrying you physically. But there's something that's even more effective about this than just that piece of it. A man's spiritual well-being is the well from which he leads his family spiritually. So if that well is dry, he's not going to lead his family well. So he's not going to point his wife to the Lord. He's not going to point his kids to the Lord, because his own heart isn't even oriented toward the Lord. And
right.
I'm sure you've probably seen this in your own life.
Definitely.
I've seen it. Yeah.
It's hard to even think spiritual thoughts if you're not...
Right. And so the perfect way to not point your family to the Lord is to not have your own heart pointed toward the Lord. And that's exactly... That's why a man is called to focus his heart on the Lord. It's because he's also called to shepherd his family. Ephesians 5:25 and following calls a man to shepherd his wife. Ephesians 6:4 calls him to shepherd his children. He's to pour himself into them spiritually. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't pour anything out of an empty vessel.
Right.
And so if you care nothing for your own spiritual well-being, then you'll be pouring nothing into your wife and kids.
Right.
But your wife will desperately want to grow, and so she will desperately also want the kids to know the Lord, and she'll desperately want you to grow and lead, so she'll be trying to fill you up so that you'll fill her up and the kids up, but God just didn't design it to work that way, okay? And you know that, but she may not.
Hmm. So basically, you'll be forcing her into a role she wasn't designed to fulfill.
Yes, yes. You're forcing her to do something that she wasn't designed to do. And that's kind of a theme in several of these points that we're going to be talking about. A great way to demoralize your wife is to force her to do things that God hasn't designed her to do. She's designed to be your helper. And that's a Genesis 2 thing. Man was created first. The woman was created as a complement to him. C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T, as a compliment to him, not the other way around, okay? So God didn't create the woman first and then create the man to ride around on her back spiritually. She's not built for that. The man is built to lead. The woman is built to help. And the New Testament, in places like 1 Timothy 2, 1 Corinthians 11, they appeal to that reality and instruct a man to lead his wife. And so when you don't look after your own spiritual well-being, you're not equipped or motivated to lead, and she's left filling that void for herself and the children, if you have children. And in spite of what the culture would say, she is not built for that. That role for her is as unnatural as you giving birth. So if you want to grind her spirit into the ground, as it appears as some men do, then care nothing for your own spirit.
So practically speaking, what would that look like?
Okay, so practically speaking, what would that look like? Now, this is going to look very familiar to a lot of men because they're already really good at it. In fact, most men are naturals at this. This is what it looks like in everyday life. Don't crack the Bible open except at church because the Bible is spiritual food. So you want to demoralize your wife by not caring for your own spiritual well-being, you got to stay away from the Bible.
Right.
You pray only at meals, okay, if you're going to pray at meals. And if you do pray at meals, you would want it to be some kind of rote thing that that everyone in the family could say along with you. You know, you say the same thing so often that it's like a lifeless thing.
Okay? Right.
Don't dare pray any other time, and certainly not with her. So basically, the idea is deprive yourself of all spiritual sustenance, and eventually your wife will cave.
Sure. So even if you know the right things to say, if you're not living these things, they'll have no effect help your wife, your children. They're going to see that you don't really believe.
Right. Yes. So if the objective is to demoralize your wife, care nothing for your own spiritual well-being, and I can give a personal testimony here because I've watched my own wife wilt like a dying flower in the absence of my care for my own spiritual well-being numerous times over the course of our marriage. I mean, I've just ground her into the dust. It's several periods of our marriage, we've been married for over 21 years now, and this is always the way that I've done it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So if we want to demoralize our wives, one important thing to do or not to do would be meet with other men for the sake of stirring one another up to love and good works.
Yeah. If you you could think of like things to avoid at all costs, relationships with other people in the church is going to be one of those if you want to demoralize your wife. And this is somewhat related to the previous point, because meeting with other people for the purpose of stirring one another up to love and good works, that is only going to benefit your own spiritual well-being. But this is so important that it kind of deserves its own heading, all right? If Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 reads, "And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So if you have a godly wife and you meet with other men and you and those men are pointing each other to Jesus, you're only going to encourage your wife, which is like the opposite of what we're talking about here. So if you're wanting to demoralize her, that's the last thing you want to do is meet with other men for the purpose of pointing one another to the Lord. Now, there are a lot of ways there are a lot of ways that a wife can help her husband cope with stress in life, but there are also a lot of ways that she can't help her husband. She can't encourage him. She can't hold him accountable. And that is why the New Testament so clearly calls us to be active with one another outside of the home, right? So right. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16 talks about the fact that we need other members of the body. You know, there's some people out there that have this erroneous idea that the nuclear family is the church. No, it's not. Paul's quite clear that we need the church. We need other members outside of our homes. We need other men. As men, we need other men who are walking the same road, who can encourage us and exhort us and warn us and rebuke us and understand us in ways that our wife can't. We need that if the objective is to grow spiritually. If the objective is not to grow spiritually and thereby demoralize our wives, then of course we want to stay away from other Christian men. So this really represents a golden opportunity to discourage your wife. If you want to beat your wife down, do not meet with other men for the purpose of fulfilling Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25.
What would you suggest instead?
Okay. Instead, put that whole burden on your wife. Okay? So we already talked a moment ago about forcing her to do things that she's not equipped for. This is another one of those things. So you make her carry you. Make her carry all of your discouragement, all of your sin issues that require accountability, all of your need for spiritual warnings. Put every bit of that on her, all right? And a way to add insult to injury here is that when she encourages you to get with other men, which she will do if she cares for you, tell her you think it's a good idea and say something like, yeah, you know, I think I will do that, but then don't do it because then that gets her hopes up. If you want to demoralize her, getting her hopes up is a plus, but then do nothing. You know, sure. don't ever follow through on that thing that you say you're going to do, and you force her to do things that she's not equipped for, and she will just buckle every time. So a theme that we're seeing here is force her to do things that she's not equipped for, get her hopes up, and then dash them. So there are things that God has called you to do. If you want to demoralize your wife, at least with these first two, you just ignore those things.
Sure.
And it's going to have an inevitable negative impact on your wife.
And to your point, make her feel like you're eventually going to get to these things, and you'll probably tell yourself that too, but so as to keep her hopes up and then
right.
never really follow through.
Right, yeah. Helpful. And that's very, very discouraging, mm-hmm. right.
Well, Greg, let's go ahead and pick up next time to continue this discussion.
Okay.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.